This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, how often you call us to go to deeper water. Yet in our uncertainty, in our feeling of unworthiness, even in our feeling of being unfulfilled, we sometimes fear to follow you. Give us the grace and the strength to follow the example of Isaiah, of Paul, of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that we might hear your voice and respond to it, saying, "Here I am, send me." Amen. Welcome to the pregame show. Myself, I root for the commercials. The last time we had this set of readings, and I encourage you to take the bulletin home with you because all three readings are so rich today. But the last time we had these readings was a very special occasion at St. Joseph's. It was the ordination of our own Wendy Tobias to the priesthood. And I remembered when we were getting ready for that ordination and we're having the rehearsal, we had printed up a few of the draft copies of the bulletin so that the altar minister had something to study from and get ready for the service the next day. And the closing recessional hymn we were going to use is that great hymn, "Lord, You Give the Great Commission." And the words go, "Lord, You Give the Great Commission, heal the sick and preach the word, lest the church neglect its mission and the gospel go unheard." But as Rick Marconi was very wise to find out, in the printing of the program, we have left out the word "s" from "lest the church neglect its mission." And so it was this horrific prayer to God, "Lord, You give the great commission, heal the sick and preach the word, let the church neglect its mission and the gospel go unheard." Well, luckily, we caught it at the rehearsal and fixed it for the actual celebration with the bishop. And to this day, as you go and see Rick Marconi, he is forever remembered as the man who saved St. Joseph's S. The gospel is not to go unheard. He gives us a commission. He gives us a mission. He gives each one of us call. And these are perfect readings today because we begin today a series of five what we are calling mini ministry fairs. It is a blessing in this church that as you look at the back of the bulletin, the ministries have continued to grow to such a point that we can't get all the ministries in one fair anymore. They don't fit in the parish hall. So this year we're trying something new and we're dividing it up into the different columns you see in the back of the bulletin, what we affectionately call the vestry buckets. And we're beginning with the first purpose of the church, worship today. So after the service ends today and we've exchanged the peace, I invite you to go over to the parish hall and there is the sign up there for the small groups, but there also are all the worship ministries have tables set up over there that talk about the different ministries with which they are connected. It's about answering God's call. And in all of the readings that we have today, we get some hints into responding to that call. There once was a great king in Israel. The Bible tells us that he was king of Israel for 52 years. He was so great that he's considered only second to the great King Solomon. That's how great he was. But this king had a problem. He was very full of pride. And he decided that being king wasn't enough. And so he decided that he wanted to do what only the priests of Israel were allowed to do, and that was to enter into the sanctuary and to offer incense sacrifice at the altar. And so this great king decides he's going to do this, and the minute that he does it, he is struck with leprosy. And he ends up living the rest of his life isolated, and he dies alone. That king's name was King Uzziah. And in the first reading for today's lessons in the Old Testament, the first phrase comes from Isaiah chapter 6, and it says, "In the year King Uzziah died." Now, there's great meaning understanding that story in that opening phrase, because Isaiah was of the royal court of King Uzziah. Uzziah had taken a shine to him. Isaiah had found great comfort and security being a member of that court. Now there is incredible uncertainty. The king is dead. "What is to become of me?" Isaiah might say. And greater than that, what is to become of the people of Israel? Because they are surrounded on every side with people who would like to invade them and take them over. There is huge uncertainty going on in Isaiah's life. It is in the midst of that uncertainty that God calls Isaiah. I think our first takeaway today, in the midst of our uncertainty, that is oftentimes when God will call us. We can have a tendency, I know I do, of times of saying to God, "I know you want me to do this, I hear you, but just let me take care of this over here first." And yet we forget that the most direct route to getting back to security and certainty in our lives is to follow the will of the one who can bring it about. This, I believe, is why God would call somebody like Isaiah or call us in the times of uncertainty, because God wants to answer our prayer and bring us that security back. It's a difficult step sometimes to go into that deep water. This is the call Isaiah receives. And by the way, this is not at the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. Isaiah, the first chapter, first verse says, "The vision of the prophet Isaiah." He had already seen the vision. He's already a prophet. It is just at this point in his life where he really gets it. And in that reading, take it home and read it, all of his senses are involved. His hearing, his sight, even his taste. "The Lord has touched my tongue." It's almost like he comes to this overwhelming awareness of God's call for him. And it can be the same for us. We can be floating along and just doing things as we do, as I know a lot of your personal stories, you've told me this, that somewhere along the line, God just said, "Now's your time to move on." So if you're in an uncertain point in your life, don't discount the fact that God's call might still be there. Now, if you move on to the second reading that we had, the second reading for today is from a great man in the New Testament. But he wasn't so great when he began his life. He was running around killing Christians by the thousands. We all know him as Paul. We celebrated his feast day a couple weeks ago, and I asked the kids at our school Eucharist, God bless them, "What can you tell me about what this Paul did?" And this little first grader raises his hand and he says, "Oh, he was a nasty man." Right on. He was. And as he mentions in the reading today, he says in the reading that "I am the least of the apostles," because he feels that he is unworthy because of what he had done. God calls Paul in the midst of his unworthiness. Again, when we feel unworthy, perhaps that is when God wants to reach out and call us, because he is the one that can make us worthy. So if you feel unworthy at times, don't discount that God might call and have a special mission for you. Then we come to this great gospel story, a great fish story. Love this gospel. And here we have these apostles. They've been up all night, literally up all night fishing. And it's not like they went over to the banana boat and got on one of those charter things where they even put the bait on the hook for you. It wasn't that easy. It is throwing those heavy nets out, pulling them back in, throwing them out again. All night long they go through this. You've got to be frustrated. You did that all night, you caught nothing. Now you're cleaning these nets and this guy comes along and says, go do it again? The only thing I can compare it to in my own life is I was doing one of these crazy papers, some of you know, some time ago for this program I'm in at the seminary. Literally spent an all-nighter finishing it off, get up to the printer, I'm going to print it out, my computer crashes, and I lose the entire 50-page paper. Now, I didn't exactly feel like I wanted to start over right then and there. I wanted to go up the Empire State Building and throw that computer off the highest level I could. This is a little bit what they have to be feeling at this point. You got to feel a little bit unfulfilled with what has transpired. And there's the third point. A lot of times God is going to call us when we are feeling unfulfilled. A lot of times it is God wanting to take us to the next level, whether it's in our prayer life, whether it's in our level of commitment, whether it is in our particular ministry. A lot of times it doesn't mean that God wants us to let it go. It is God calling us to move more in depth with it. Most of you know that's how I ended up here. My corporate life was becoming unfulfilling. I wanted to get back in full-time ministry, and here we are. But for us, it doesn't necessarily mean a complete life or career change. It can just mean, as Rick Warren would say, you just change who you're working for. You start working for God in whatever you're doing. And that fulfillment can be there in many ways. This is an important thing for us. We're having a ministry fair that's going to go on now for 5 weeks. Specific ways in which we can use our gifts here in this place. Maybe the discontent you might have is because God wants you to move further. It might mean it's time to move on, but we need to pray for that discernment. Something I shared with you all some time ago, I think is very appropriate to share again, because we're all reflecting upon our different commitments of our time. And there's this litany that I shared with you some time ago about whether you are still doing a ministry or if you just have a job. And it's an important difference. It goes like this. If you're doing it because no one else will, it's a job. If you're doing it to serve the Lord, it's a ministry. If you'll do it so long as it doesn't interfere with other activities, it's a job. If you're committed to staying with it even when it means letting go of other things, it's a ministry. If you quit because no one praised or thanked you, it was a job. If you stayed with it even though no one seems to notice, it's a ministry. It is hard to get excited about a job. It is almost impossible not to be excited about a ministry. If your concern is success, it's a job. If your concern is faithfulness, it is a ministry. An average church is filled with people doing jobs. A great church is filled with people who are involved in ministries. Whether God calls us in the midst of our uncertainty, our feeling of unworthiness, or our feeling of being unfulfilled, may we respond and be a great church with great ministries. Let us take that to our prayer.